It is the final edition of Crunch Time of 2019 and of the decade, even though we started the show last year. And I am Double T, Travis there, flying solo tonight. 30 minutes of nonstop sports conversation live from the Eagle's Nest, 20 East High Street in downtown Lawrenceburg. And here in just a few minutes, we are going to catch up with Coach Kevin Moore and his East Central Lady Trojans girls basketball team, who are having a fantastic year, by the way. So I'm going to flap my gums here for a couple minutes on the rundown, a new thing we instituted a couple weeks ago. Some of the key things that happened over the weekend. I want to start with the college football playoff. Me and JB been talking college football all season long, and we finally get to the playoff. You got LSU and Oklahoma in one national semifinal, and Clemson and Ohio State in the other. And as expected, LSU steamrolling Oklahoma 63-28 behind an all-time great performance from future Cincinnati Bengals quarterback Joe Burrow. I mean, my goodness, 493 yards in this game, 7 touchdown passes in the first half. He added another rushing touchdown in the second half to bring the total to 8, and you can easily see why Joe Burrow should be the number one pick in the upcoming 2020 draft. I've been saying it for a while now. He just has that it factor. If you're watching him on TV and you look through that face mask into Joe Burrow's eyes, he knows that he is the best player out on the field and that he can lead his team to victory against virtually anybody. But I got to say something. As a whole, these college football playoff semifinal games have not been very good in the now 6-year time period that they've been doing the college football playoffs. The only time the 4 seed has won, once in 2014 when the Ohio State Buckeyes defeated Alabama, and then again in 2017 when Alabama took down Clemson. Both of those teams actually went on to win the national championship, so it can be done from a number 4 spot, but largely these games have not been very competitive, and that was another example there with LSU steamrolling Oklahoma. Now, don't get me wrong, the second national semi game was a very competitive game and a heartbreaking loss for a big Buckeye fan. Ended up going to Clemson, 29-23. Ohio State had a 16-0 lead there in the first half. Probably could have been a little bit bigger lead. They had an overturned touchdown, which was a good call. J.K. Dobbins did not catch that ball in the end zone. They had some silly penalties. One was on a punt where they roughed the kicker and gave him a first down. Clemson went down and scored. They also had the big penalty on Sean Wade, where he led with the crown of his helmet, was ejected for hitting Trevor Lawrence helmet to helmet. That was another 15-yard penalty that ended up being a Clemson touchdown. That was also the turning point in the game. Sean Wade plays a big role on that Ohio State defense as that third cornerback, and that was kind of the downfall of the Buckeyes in that game. But give Clemson credit. They got their offense on track there in the second half, and the Buckeyes just continually failed to score in the red zone. So Clemson showed why they have won 29 straight games and why they are championship material, the defending national champs. Ohio State did get the final shot there. Justin Fields leading him down the field. A little miscommunication with his sophomore star wide receiver, Chris Olave, who stopped running his route, ended up in an interception. Game over, season over. But I'm going to say it right now, Ohio State and Clemson will return to the college football playoff next year, largely because of the quarterbacks for their teams. Justin Fields and Trevor Lawrence both will be juniors next year, the two best quarterbacks in college football to start next season. So I would not be surprised to see those two teams tangle in the college football playoff yet again next year. But at the end of the day, I believe this is LSU's season. Joe Burrow, best player in college football. He's been absolutely on fire. And the national championship 2 weeks from tonight going to be played in the Louisiana Superdome. So a huge home field advantage for the Tigers. Clemson's very good. I mentioned the 29-game winning streak, and they certainly are capable of winning. But it just seems to be LSU's year, so I'll go with them. Moving on to number 2 on the rundown, the NFL regular season has come to an end. And it came to an end with the Cincinnati Bengals getting their second win of the season. I see a little bit of a light at the end of the tunnel with the Bengals. 33-23 win over the Browns, presumably Andy Dalton's last game as a Bengal. He's got 1 year left on his contract, but the Bengals can release him without paying the money that he is owed, which is somewhere in the $17 million range. So Andy Dalton will find himself a new team over the offseason. He played decent yesterday, but it was really the Joe Mixon show, and he has been outstanding over the past 6-7 games as that offensive line continues to get a little bit better. And I see a scenario where the Bengals could be a pretty competitive team going into into next year. I'll get to that just in a minute. I want to mention the Colts ended their year on a downslope, losing five of their last six games, including a 38-20 loss to Jacksonville yesterday. So where do those two teams go from here? The two teams that we kind of follow regionally, I call the Bengals the hometown team. Some people call it the Colts the in-state team. But I think the Bengals are actually in a slightly better situation than the Indianapolis Colts, despite winning five fewer games than the Colts, knowing that they can draft Joe Burrow at the top of the draft. Just mentioned his game-changing ability. He's the franchise quarterback that the Bengals have seemingly missed on year in and year out. They missed on Deshaun Watson and Patrick Mahomes and some of these young quarterbacks that are really lighting the league on fire. Now they finally have their chance to get that quarterback in here. Mentioned the improving offensive line. You have Joe Mixon, a start running back, a chance to re-sign A.J. Green, get him back, your top playmaker, and make some upgrades on their defense. Sure, they might have to have a perfect offseason, but I see a scenario where they could be a very competitive team in the AFC next year. Not guaranteeing a playoff spot or anything like that, but they can be much better with Joe Burrow and some other upgrades in the offseason. As for the Colts, I think they need to upgrade their quarterback situation as well. Jacoby Brissett's a nice quarterback, a little bit of a bridge from Andrew Luck to the next maybe great quarterback that they get. I think Jacoby's very similar to Andy Dalton, just kind of a middle-of-the-road quarterback. Not going to wow you, but can do some good things. So if the Colts can significantly upgrade their quarterback one position, maybe they can put themselves in a position to win the AFC South. If not, I see them still being behind Tennessee and Houston, who are playoff teams this year. Couple other notes in NFL. The 2020 schedule has been released, and aside from the division teams that the Bengals and Colts will both play, the Bengals are going to take on teams from the NFC East and the AFC South in the 2020 season, and for the Colts, the AFC North and the NFC South. So we know that the Colts and Bengals are going to play yet again, and that game will be in Indianapolis. The dates have not been released for those schedules, but you can at least see the home and away opponents for both of those teams out there online. As for the playoffs, I don't want to get into this too much, but I am going to give you my Super Bowl prediction. I'm going to take the Baltimore Ravens in the AFC. I just think Lamar Jackson's been way too good. No slowing him down, and tougher to pick a team in the NFC, but since I'm such a big Buckeye fan, I'm going to go with the New Orleans Saints. They have six Buckeyes on their team, including the best wide receiver in the NFL. Hands down, no argument, Michael Thomas. So I got the Ravens and the Saints in the Super Bowl. And one more thing to add to the rundown before we get to the Lady Trojans. The Reds are set to add Japanese outfielder Shogo Akiyama to their outfield, and Akiyama just broke the Japanese single-season hit record previously set by Ichiro Suzuki, who is a Hall of Fame player, and Shogo is a career 301 hitter and has averaged 23 home runs in his last three seasons. The Reds are the only team in the MLB who have never had a Japanese player on their roster, so this is long overdue. He's 31, plays center field, and a five-time All-Star in Japan, two-time Gold Glove winner over there, a guy that should improve their lineup and their defense. But the big question here, of course, 3 years, $15 million deal. I should have mentioned that. But what are they going to do with Nick Senzel, one of their better young players? He played center field last year as a rookie. He came up in the organization as an infielder, so perhaps he moves back to shortstop where he came up. Maybe he's traded. Maybe he goes to a corner outfield spot. Regardless, if you can keep Nick Senzel on the roster, move him to a different position, that makes the Reds lineup a whole lot better. There has been some rumors out there that maybe the Reds will try to get star shortstop Francisco Lindor from the Cleveland Indians, and if they can do that, my goodness, they would have a really, really good lineup and a pretty stout rotation too. So the Reds are making some moves this offseason. Akiyama, Mike Moustakas, Wade Miley, they are certainly heading in the right direction. So the Reds are positioning themselves to be one of the favorites in the National League Central, or at least to compete for a wild card spot. So that is certainly exciting if you are a Reds fan. So with that, that is going to end the rundown. I'm going to have to get a little swig of water here. That's a lot of talking. Excuse me there. And we will now bring in the East Central Lady Trojans basketball team off to a 12-4 start, a seven-game winning streak, including a big tournament win, which we'll get into here momentarily. But we're going to start off with Coach Kevin Moore. Step on up to the mic there, Coach, and just give us your general feelings about your team so far this year. 12-4, off to a really good start, and now you're getting into that back end of your schedule. So where's your team at from your perspective?
Well, first of all, thanks for having us out. We're excited to be here to talk about our program. Honestly, at 12-4, considering the schedule that we've played, looking at the Sagarin ratings, I feel really good at where we're at. We're getting a lot of kids back, including one that's in the studio tonight. And some inexperience at the beginning of the year, we really only had basically three kids that had any varsity experience as the season tipped off. So basically three new full-time starters to begin the year with Emma starting out. And then with Charson coming back, we really have six starters at this point, in my opinion. But, you know, as you said, we win our holiday tournament, have won seven in a row. And on the way down here, I'm thinking about the feelings we had after we lost to Columbus North at the buzzer, and we've got to go play the number one team in Kentucky. A day and a half later, I'm thinking, oh my gosh, you know, we're about to be a 500 team, and we pulled that one out, and it's really been on the upward climb, as you said, because of just collective effort. I think we've had six different leading scores over the stretch of those seven games, so it just kind of shows the depth of our team and the talent level that we have.
All right, so let's let the girls introduce themselves, and we're going to start over here with maybe what the girls well, you guys are really excited to hear Josie talk, so we'll let you lead off. That's what I was trying to get at to. Go ahead, introduce yourself, let everybody know what position you play on the team, and what year you are in school.
I'm Josie Traywell. I'm a freshman. I play a forward on the East Central girls basketball team.
All right, very good. Round the horn here.
I'm Emma Ertle. I'm a junior, and I also play forward on the basketball team.
All right.
I'm Hope Fox. I'm a sophomore, and I'm a guard.
All right, and last but certainly not least?
I'm Meng Cotty. I'm a senior, and I'm also a guard.
All right, so we got some underclassmen here. So not only is this season going really well, but the future is bright there at East Central as well. But girls, similar to I asked Coach Moore, you're off to a 12-4 start. So general feelings about where you're at this point in the season, riding that big winning streak. Should we start with the senior? Megan, go ahead.
Sure. I'm really, like, happy with where we're at. I think we've done really well. We play a really tough schedule. Moore doesn't let us just walk all over teams. He wants to make sure that we're ready in February because no more losing in February.
That's right.
And I think we've really competed with all these top state teams, really. Like you said, we lost to Columbus North at the buzzer, and we just pulled off our holiday tournament, and we had some really good teams show up there, so I'm happy with where we're at.
We're going to get into the holiday tournament, but we've talked about it a lot on this broadcast, myself and JB. It doesn't matter really what sport it is. At East Central, everybody seems to schedule up and play those tougher non-conference opponents. So getting to some of the other girls, do you enjoy getting out there and competing against some of these schools you normally don't get to play against, knowing that they can kind of match up with your athleticism?
Yeah, I like it because, like, if we win, we can prove that we can compete with these teams, and it's just a great way of getting better and proving ourselves.
All right. Emma, anything to add on to that? How competitive your schedule is, how much that helps you throughout the season?
Yeah, it helps a lot. Playing some of the top teams in the state, it really helps to get us ready for February and proves that we're just right there with them, and we can push ourselves to the limit and get ourselves there.
Coach, you got something to add to that?
Yeah, and it kind of goes along with our summer schedule, too. In June, we really take pride in going out and playing in these top showcase events and, you know, playing the Homesteads, the Ben Davises, and Hamilton Southeasterns, all those teams. And when we first started doing that, probably 6 or 7 years ago, we took some lumps. But now we're competing in June, and it kind of gives those kids the confidence to step in there in November through February and be ready to rock and roll.
And I got to see you guys play against Batesville a couple weeks ago, and I was real impressed with some of the different things that you're able to do out on the court. So my next question was kind of leading into maybe some of the off-season stuff is what do you do to prepare and get yourself to be a really good basketball player? How about you, Josie? I mean, you're a freshman and having a great season, so what are some of the things you do in the off-season to get yourself prepared for varsity basketball?
Ever since I started in this program, we always have open gyms and just a lot of stuff just that you can go to, and then just to get yourself better and ready for the season for when it's your time.
Is there individual camps? Coach just kind of mentioned you do showcases playing some different teams, but do you go to individual camps, play AAU ball, anything like that to help yourself out during the off season?
Yeah, most of us play AAU. It really helps because you're getting a lot of games in and playing against, like, really good competition, but yeah, we go to, some people play AU, and then there's camps you can go to, but really it's just in the month of June we work every day and compete as hard as we can.
And speaking of playing a lot of games in a short amount of time, you've hosted the East Central Tournament. How many years you've been doing this now, Coach?
Then they're in holiday tournament.
Mm-hmm.
This is our fourth year doing
that. Okay, so you play, what, four games in 2 days, and you ended up winning all four this year. Yeah. As I see here, you kind of got out ahead against Hamilton Heights, Shelbyville, and Seymour to get those first three wins, got yourself in a position to play in the championship game. Mm-hmm. And then we'll get to the championship game here in just a moment. But those first three games, how do you think your girls played, and what can maybe be improved on from those three games?
Sure. No, I mean, you look at the three different teams, and honestly, when people watch us on film, I kind of take pride in the fact that they don't know maybe what we're going to do defensively, because we're very versatile. Mm-hmm. We do play a lot of man, but we also run a lot of half-court different defenses and traps out of that. And we really, it depends on who we're playing more so than anything. We're really game planning. But Hamilton Heights was really perimeter-based. We were really worried about switching one through five, so we started out and some switching just the three guard positions and playing soft on a couple kids, and they really looked confused, honestly, and allowed us to get out early. And then Shelbyville game, you look on the John Harrell, we were predicted to win by 30 something points, and you know, it kind of ended up that way, but I believe in that game they hit five banked in threes. So it certainly was a little frustrating there in that second, third quarter that they were hanging around, but the kids ultimately pulled away with some of our pressure. And then Seymour Saturday morning was a great game. I thought Kyla Maxwell, who's not here, did a fantastic job, her and Emma Ertl, on the Meyer girl from Seymour, who had just scored 32 points the night before, and I think we limited her to 8 points and really kind of took them out of all they wanted to do. And then most teams are playing us zone right now. So the perimeter shooting has been a little suspect at times. It's probably cost us the Columbus North game and the Mount Vernon game. But in the holiday tournament, we shot right around 40% from the three-point line. So hopefully that bodes well moving forward.
All right. Now, girls, you know, those first three games, you played the two on Friday. You had to get up early for that Saturday game in pool play. So just talk a little bit about playing three games in a short amount of time, you know, preparing for three different teams, the conditioning level that you have to play your aggressive style defense, all that stuff goes into that. How much of a challenge was it for you to get through those first three games, get yourself in the championship situation?
Well, it was my first three games back, so it was probably a lot tougher for me than everyone else, because I hadn't actually played an actual game, but I'd been practicing the 2 weeks before, and I've been working a lot on my own, rehabbing my knee and getting my conditioning in. But it was definitely a lot harder on our body than what we're used to, just playing one or two games a week. But I think that we were up to the challenge and we put on a good product.
All right, let's just go down the line and kind of just give our general feelings about those three games leading into the championship. Was it fun to play those three games back to back to back, basically?
Yeah, it was a pretty good experience, but it was, like, pretty tiring, you know, playing, like, as hard as you can because you're trying to win that championship, like, title. But it was pretty fun and just getting better.
All right. Emma?
Yeah, I thought it was pretty challenging as well. I mean, we're pretty much in shape, but...
We are?
Yeah, I think we are.
I'm not. I'm tired just talking about the three games you played.
Yeah, it was a lot of fun, though, leading up, and it really pushed us to be the best we can be, and knowing that playing through three games, we can play through one a lot easier than just not being in shape. We were in shape pretty well.
All right, and I imagine going back to maybe some of those summer showcases, you play a couple games a day, maybe that probably helped out as well. What do you say about that, Jesse?
Yeah, I play pretty much every weekend during the summer, and we play sometimes three games in one day, so doing that really helps these types of situations.
So you're well prepared, but you get yourself to the championship game against Danville, so you knocked off, what, three 4A schools and then play a 3A school in the finals, and they actually had your number there in the first half, at least in terms of the box score, but a massive third quarter outscoring them 17-3. That had to be a good sight to see.
No, for sure, and going back to the format of the tournament, it really kind of simulates a sectional Friday-Saturday championship situation, and then Saturday kind of simulates a regional format. If we were ever to get to a regional, you play in the morning and then afternoon evening. So we look at it from that point of view as well, the whole purpose of that tournament. But Danville, you know, they beat Martinsville the day before, which really surprised a lot of people. We thought if we made it to the championship, there was probably a possibility that we would see Martinsville. And they were just put into our sectional.
I was going to say, they're a sectional team.
They are now. So, you know, we don't like to back down from anybody. So we was actually wanting to play Martinsville. But Danville did a lot of really good things in that game and actually gave us some ideas in terms of how we could defend them down the road if we were to see them. But Danville's a top five 3A team.
Mm-hmm.
They've got a kid that averages 24 points a game, had multiple D1 offers, and elected to stay at home and go to Marion. But we started out the game in man, and she's a taller kid, 6'1 guard, and we felt that she was probably a little bit too tall for Hope Fox or Brylin to guard her. So Maxwell was up to the challenge, but her quickness got Kyla in some foul trouble situations, and that led to that 11-point lead. And we took that timeout, and we calmly talked in the huddle, right? And kind of altered our game plan at that point. We went to our 32 zone out where we trap out of the corners. And what we saw on film is they didn't put anybody at the high post that was really somebody that we would wanted to worry about in terms of if they caught there, that wasn't something that we need to adjust. So it really took Collier out of the game, Patterson out of the game, and we climbed back into it. We were down 5 going into the halftime, and then, as you said, we kind of exploded there in the third quarter. They missed some long threes. It was allowing us to get into the transition game that we like to do. And then once we got up by 1, we were kind of surprised that they got out of their zone, which was causing us some problems, and they played man. And before you know it, we were up double digits and really didn't look back at that point.
All right, so a simple question to kind of round out the talk on the holiday tournament. You're hosting this. You're on your home floor. So just how sweet was it to win all 4 games and be the champion?
Yeah, for sure. Go ahead, Toby.
Yeah. Okay. It was really special to win on our home court, especially after losing the sectional on our home court 2-3 years ago. Because that one really, really stung. So it was really special to win on our home court in front of our home crowd.
Especially as a senior.
Especially
as a
senior.
Last chance there in the
I actually haven't
tournament.
Won our holiday tournament, so this was my first time.
Oh, very good, very good. All right, well, Hope, first time winning the holiday tournament as well. So how special was that for you?
It's pretty special considering we've never won it before. And, like, last year we lost by a free throw, I think.
Yeah, lost by a point.
So, yeah, it was pretty special, and we're on a winning streak, so that really helped, and we just want to keep looking forward, and it's definitely going to, like, boost us, like, coming to the we have Bedford coming up, so that'll help us.
All right, Emma?
Yeah, like Megan said, with the sectionals 2 years ago, I was actually a freshman, and it was nice to finally win on our home court, a big tournament, and it was a lot of fun to get us ready for sectionals and regionals coming up soon in February.
All right, and Josie, you're a freshman, so you're 1-for-1 in the holiday tournament, cutting it down. How cool was that?
Oh, that was really cool. It was a great experience to go out there and win at our home court in front of our home crowd.
All right, so let's talk a little bit about a couple of the individuals that didn't make it here tonight who are standing out on this team. I want you girls to talk about Brylin and Kyla and what their contributions have meant to your team. I think Brylin has blossomed this year into not only a scorer but a playmaker, getting everybody else involved. And Kyla is one of my favorite players in the area because she does so much. Similar, I think, to you, Emma, who do a great job of not only scoring but rebounding and helping your teammates out as well. So talk a little bit about their contributions to the team so far this year. And Coach, you can jump in there,
sure,
too, if you'd like.
Yeah, go ahead.
Brylin's definitely a huge part of our team, 3-year varsity starter. I think one aspect of her game that's really improved this year is her defense. Mm-hmm. She's now one of our top defenders, so we'll stick her on our opponent's best player, and I think that that really makes her a well-rounded player. She doesn't just control our offense, but she's also a lot helpful on defense, a lot more helpful on defense. Kyla, she kind of does a little bit of everything. One of our top defenders. She's also a playmaker. I think she can she can play guard and post, which is huge for us. She can drive in and then kick out for threes.
And she's just one of our best leaders out on the floor. She can calm everyone down, and she knows the game really well, and she knows the scouting report really well, so we can always count on her.
Well, I think that's a great answer. Maybe we can move on and talk a little bit more about Kyla, and then we'll talk about some other things. So who wants to talk up your teammate, Kyla Maxwell?
I'll say about Kyla is that, like, my first year, like, full-time varsity, she's definitely helped me, like, with, like, the knowledge and, like, being a good leader, and like Brylan does that too. They're really good leaders, and they just bring so much emotion to the team. It like they're just really good leaders.
All right, and I want you to talk about yourselves as well. Maybe give everybody out there something that you do really well on the floor, and then something that you would personally like to get better at as the season goes on. Josie, we'll start with you.
I think I'm really good at driving to the basket to go up and either get fouled or get it on the offensive end, and I definitely would like to improve on my defense.
I was wondering if you
this is going to be interesting stuff for Coach, I think. All right, Emma, how about you?
I definitely feel like my rebounding is pretty good and well part of the team, and I definitely like to get better on my free throws. It's a big key, and that'll come in February.
All right, they're well aware so far with the strengths and weaknesses. Hope?
I would probably say one of my strengths is, like, shooting, just, like, threes and jumpers. And I need to work on my free throws and just, like, not crossing over, doing something besides crossing
over. I like the three ball.
She's pretty good at it.
All right, Megan?
I don't think I've really played enough to know my strength this season. Definitely leadership off the court. I couldn't play a role on the court so far, but I think off the court, I was a pretty good leader. And then I could work on developing my offense.
All right, very good. And we have a few more minutes left here in the broadcast, so I'm going to go to you, Coach, just to kind of wrap up the rest of your regular season. You do have some tough matchups there. You mentioned Bedford, North Lawrence, but you got the five conference games that are going to loom large there at the end, and the last four are all conference games. So goals are still out there ahead of you. You might need some help in terms of Greensburg and Lawrenceburg, what they're doing, but conference championship, I imagine, is the next thing on the list to cross off.
Yeah, it is, and in the last 8 years, we've won it four times, but in those 8 years, if you weren't undefeated, you didn't win it.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, every year we talk about our Greensburg matchup. The winner of that is more than likely in the driver's seat, and Lawrenceburg has yet to play us or Greensburg.
Right.
So, that you know, probably in most people's opinions, that's
the top three teams.
But as you said, we've got Bedford coming up this Saturday, top 10 team in the state of Indiana. They're going to make that flight over to our place for an afternoon game. Luckily, it's at our place this year. They've given us fits the last couple of years. We had them to a 2-point game last year down at their place. And, you know, I would rather lose to a team like Bedford than beat somebody that we're going to win by 30 and 40 points.
Yeah, you can learn something from this game one way or another.
Right, and we've done that, you know, with Mount Vernon and Columbus North, Heritage Christian, some of those games. You know, I'd like to soon forget about the Greensburg game. It was probably a game that'll stick out to me. I'm still confused by, but moving down the line, we've got Dixie Heights coming in after that. They're a really good Kentucky program right now. An East Central grad is their coach, actually. He does a really good job down there. And then, as you said, the conference games. And I think it's safe to say that when you play anybody in southeastern Indiana with East Central, it's kind of the Super Bowl.
Mm-hmm.
And we know that. And I credit these kids, not only these four, but our whole roster. You know, we put a lot of time into preparing, and not just on the season, but every game, and the amount of film that these kids watch with us on their own. They know the scouting reports, the assistants that do a lot of the groundwork for me. It makes it well worth it. You know, you're 12-4, spirits are high, everything's going the right way. But we always talk about not getting too high, and try not to get too low when the moments are low, like they were at Columbus. And we didn't do that, and that's why we're on a 7-game winning streak.
All right, well, let's take these last couple of minutes and have a little bit of fun. We like to open it up at the end, just kind of a lightning round, ask some maybe silly questions. And
well, they're good at this. I can
let's just start out. Do you have something you got for Christmas that you're really excited to get? Anybody want, or do we skip to New
Money.
Year's? Money, that's always a good one. I'm okay with
share,
that.
Share the gift you guys got me.
Oh, Today?
No, not today. they're givers, yeah.
Okay.
No, the stocking.
Oh, okay. So we had this, like, team bonding at the McCory's house, or, like, a Secret Santa, and we all got gifts. But we also got this, like, huge stocking, and we wrote, like...
Not, like, huge, like, enormous.
Yeah, like, it could fit on, like, a door.
Okay.
So we wrote, like, all his sayings on there, and he doesn't think we listened to him, but, like...
Okay.
We got them all down to, like, trust the process, plan your meals.
76ers fan.
Yeah, get her out. What is she doing? Like, all of that. So that was pretty fun. And we also got these, like, miniature, like, snowman, like, snowballs, and we, like, throw them at him after the game. So that's pretty
fun.
Yeah.
All right. Emma, do you have something you got for Christmas that you were pumped about?
Amazon and Chipotle gift cards.
That's always good. How about you, Josie?
We went on a little trip to Gatlinburg.
Oh, fantastic. That's an awesome place to go. Do we have any New Year's resolutions out there, or is that just an old person thing?
A New Year's resolution, I'd say, for the basketball team is going deep into February.
All right, that's good. That's good enough. We'll move right along. Favorite athlete? Doesn't have to be a basketball player. Somebody out there that you really enjoy watching? Do we watch sports, or we just play sports, Josie?
LeBron James.
Perfect. That's my favorite too. Anybody else? You just busy watching game filming yourselves? You can say you're your favorite athlete if it's you.
I mean, I like Jackie Moon and Coffee Black a lot. They're definitely one of my favorite players.
Well, that is an awesome movie, so I will accept that answer as well. Okay, here's another one you might not want to answer. We do have to talk about academia. What's your favorite subject in school?
You better explain what that means first to Trayvon.
You might have to say that again.
Is it recess? Do you do recess? No. What's favorite subjects in school, ladies?
Lunch is really fun.
Lunch is good. Just waiting to get to basketball practice, I guess.
Yeah. I like study hall.
I like Spanish, kind of, just something new.
All right. Spit us
some Spanish.
You got some Spanish?
Hola, hold on, there's, como estas, yo soy hope.
Okay, the last one was good. I was going to say, Spanish 101, I guess, there. All right, and we'll end with this one, because you seem to be all about basketball, which is great. So what is your favorite thing about playing basketball?
I'd say definitely the people I'm surrounded with. They're so much fun to be around, and I wouldn't ask for any other team.
Very good. Josie?
Definitely the relationships that you can make with just teammates and the staff and coaches and just everybody that's here as a team.
Very nice. Megan?
I agree with them. My favorite part is the relationships I've made through the sport.
Hope?
Yeah, I would say that too. Just like it's another family you have, and we have so much fun together. So
winning's fun too, right? Yeah. Coach, what's your favorite thing about coaching this particular group of girls?
We've said it from day one. They get along. I mean, that's the thing. I mean, I've done this for 11 years, and unfortunately, in those 11 years, we've had some teams that you could see this didn't click and didn't gel, and it carried over onto the court. And practice is fun to me. The preparation is fun to me. Everything about this season has been really fun, and I certainly want to provide these kids with some memories, and I think it's doing that. I think they've created relationships. I mean, Megan's a senior. Josie's a freshman. Without basketball, they wouldn't have the opportunity to have that relationship, and those things carry on, not just this year, but as they get older. And then this Saturday, we're having our first alumni night. So it's hard to believe I've had that many kids go through here and graduate, but they're coming over for the Bedford game, and then we rented a private room down at Over the Rhine at one of the restaurants down there.
Oh, sweet.
Yeah, so just that kind of thing. And you know, obviously I love to win, I love to coach, I love to compete, but being able to still have those relationships with kids when they graduate, that's what's really cool about it all.
Well, I had so much fun talking with you gals and Coach that I actually let this go way longer than I probably should. I could sit here and talk basketball with you for days, but we certainly wish you the best of luck the rest of the season into sectional. Go win the sectional. Come back and see us. We'll talk more basketball. That has been an absolute pleasure, and you'll be able to hear yourself tomorrow when the podcast is uploaded at EagleCountryOnline.com. So thank you so much.
Thank you.
Thank you.
All right, that is the East Central Lady Trojans, 12-4 on the season. They will take on Bedford North Lawrence on January 4th. It is a 1:30 game, says the schedule. So get out and support these young ladies as they try to keep the win streak alive. Thank you for tuning in to Crunch Time on Eagle Country 99.3.